13. Revelation chapter 13. We've been talking about the mark of the beast. Everybody, that's the question that everybody asks me. What is the mark of the beast? When is this going to take place? Well, I don't know when it's going to take place, but I know when it all begins. It all begins when Jesus Christ comes to take us away. That's called the rapture of the church. The church is called up, and then there will be 7 years of tribulation, 7 years of chaos here on this earth. The first 3.5 years, well, let me just back up and say it'll be chaos. You know, what happened? You know, sometimes we think there are not a lot of Christians in the world. You know, we preachers say that sometimes, and the Bible says that straight is the gate and narrow is the way. But you know, there's more Christians in this world than you think they are. More people who are born again. And the Holy Spirit's what's holding back all of these awful things that could be happening now. We see so many of them happening now, but when the rapture comes and the church is caught up and believers go up, and there's nothing left on this earth but unbelievers, financial crisis, wars going on, it'd be chaos. But into this chaos will step this charismatic leader, whom the prophet Daniel says in Daniel 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, says he will sway the whole world through his craft and his hypnotic word. You know, the world's going to be in chaos. They're going to need a Savior. And into that chaotic world will come a Savior. But it won't be Jesus Christ. He will be the Antichrist. And so let's just look something here again. Let's just start in. We'll skip over a few slides for the sake of time this morning. But let's just notice Revelation chapter 13 again, and let's just look at it and do just a very quick resume of what we did last Sunday. John said, I stood upon the sand of the sea. And you know from last Sunday, the sand of the sea talks about, that is the sea of people in this world. Ever how many billion of people will be in the world at that time? Out of this mass of people, out of this mass of humanity that's in turmoil like the sea, John said he saw a beast rise up out of this mass of people, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. There's going to come a world leader and a world system. That's what we're reading about in chapter 13 in verse 1. We're reading about an individual and a system, a world system. Because how is the Antichrist, to put it in these words, John's talking about an emperor and an empire. You know, an emperor is one that rules with an iron hand. It's no democracy that he'll have, but there will be an emperor and an empire. And I want you to notice something about this beast. And the beast in verse 2, it says, I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were likened to the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, and that's the devil. In chapter 12, it tells you in verse 9 who the dragon is. The devil gave him his power, his seat, his ruling, and his great authority. Now, this beast that John saw is a composite. You can go to Daniel chapter 11, chapter 7, and you can read about 4 Gentile kingdoms that Daniel predicted would rise up, and they did. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and finally Rome. And you'll notice that this beast is like a leopard. It's got all these heads. It's an amalgamation of all the Gentile nations and systems that's ever been. They're all together. Most of these have been bad empires. But you'll notice that he's a leopard with all these heads. And a leopard's coat is brown. And that signifies the Asiatic people, because the leopard represents the three major races of mankind. Now, you know, all of us are different. We look different. We talk different. We come from different parts of the world, but we all fit into three major races in the world. The leopard's coat's brown. That's for the Asiatic people. His stomach is white. If you look at a picture of a leopard, his stomach is white. That's for those of us who are of European, Caucasian descent. The leopard's spots are black. That's the color of all of the African nations and people. And you say, well, what's that have to do with what we're studying? Because the Antichrist, colored like a leopard, will bring all of the people of the earth together. That's why you got to read the Bible and you got to pay attention to what these symbols are. He will bring all of these nations of the world, all of the peoples of the world, he will bring them together under his rulership, and he is empowered by the devil. Satan gives him his power. Notice verse 4, chapter 13. And they, as we said last Sunday, who is the they? Those of you who don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're sitting out there this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know that you've been born again. You've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. If that rapture should take place now, you'd be left. And you'd face all this chaos. And you would accept. Notice verse 4 again. And they, the people that are left here in this world, after the church is taken out, will worship the dragon. That's the devil, as we said, chapter 12, verse 9. And they will worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war against him? Nobody is going to be able to stand against this emperor and this empire. He will have sway over everybody because he gets his power from the devil. And that's why I want to tell you, Christians, sometimes we make fun of the devil. Oh, the devil made me do it. Or we talk about as if the devil doesn't have any power. The devil is powerful, not as powerful as Jesus Christ, but he is powerful. He can do many, many things, and he is going to empower this Antichrist, this world ruler. And you know, we're getting prepared today. You know, the world, if you look at the news and see, the world is beginning to polarize. I mean, we're beginning to come together in just a few groups. Used to, you had a multiplicity of nations. And you've got them like that in Africa now. Most of them are Muslim. And so we've got Muslim and Christian. And we're being polarized, so there really won't be, but there'll be all those people there, but it's going to be so easy. You see it coming together. You see this one, how can one man control the world? Well, why do you think banks are going busted and banks are being closed? They are closed because that's in God's plan, and another bigger bank gobbles them up, till after a while there'll just be a few banks in the world for him to take over. It won't be a mom and pop bank like some of us grew up with that was just in our community and was owned by somebody in the community. Most of the banking systems now have, they have one central location, and we're all under this blanket of just a few banks. So they're going to get, and why is the economy in arrears all of a sudden? When we were just floating along, having a good time, enjoying happiness, and all of a sudden, just overnight almost, we're about to be broke. Just all of a sudden, in the last 2 or 3, 4 years, this came to the forefront. Why is it coming to the forefront? Because the economy, we're going to have to come together with this globalization and everything else to bring the economy under the hands of just a few. Under the hands of just a few. We see it working. We see it happening by watching our radio and television. But that's not all. We could stay on that for 2 or 3 Sundays. Satan gives him his power, but the false prophet gives him his platform of operation. It gives him, so to speak, his outfit. For another word, that he will be able to bring the world together, not just economically, just not politically, just not through nationalities of nations, but in a religious way. Look at chapter 13 in verse 11. If one beast isn't enough, notice what chapter 13 in verse 11 says. And I beheld another beast. Now, why these people, these things called beasts? Because they're so terrible. They're beastly. They're terrible. But this one did not come up out of the sea, the mass of peoples. But he comes up out of the earth. And if we translated the earth like it's written in Greek, it says the land. The land. What is the land that we hear so much going on about today? Palestine and Israel, they're jockeying back and forth to get a hold of the land. And when it says the earth or the land, it's talking about the land, the place that gave us the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That places it right where it is. Out of that area of Israel and Palestine will come another beast. And this beast, notice, had two horns like a lamb. A little lamb. Who's afraid of a little lamb? Why is John calling this little lamb a beast? Because he speaks as a dragon, or with the power of the dragon. Who is the dragon? Chapter 12 and verse 9. None other than the devil himself. And he's talking here about a false religion. A false one world church. And you say, that'll never be. You can't get these Baptists and these Methodists together. I mean, how are you going to get the Presbyterians and the Lutherans together? And after all, how are you going to bring the Catholics and the Protestants together? Did you know that a lot of that is already under works with even your denominations that you're in? I read the other day that the Methodists are having dialogue with some other people that believe as they do. That they're thinking, why do we need to be separated when we can come together? And that is happening. Even the Pope has spoken out that Catholicism should re-embrace the Anglican Church in England. The Anglican Church in England is a split off from the Catholic Church. Under Henry VIII, I am. You don't remember that song, do you? I'm her eighth old man. I'm Henry the eighth. I am. Oh, man, I get off on these tangents sometimes like that. Can't help it. I'm just an old rocker from way back yonder. Been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But anyway, under Henry the Eighth, my wife's shaking her head. Won't be any lunch for me today. Anyway, they're having dialogue. They're saying, well, listen, we believe the same way. The only thing you got to do is just accept the Pope as your head and we'll come together. We worship the same way. We have our priests. We have our nuns. We have all of these other things. Why can't we come together? And that's what's happening. It's happening now, folks, in evangelical churches. I hope maybe sometime by September and October to have a 5-series video teaching on what's happening in churches today. How we are accepting the new age that used to be something old that we threw out, and there's nothing to the new age, and we threw it out many years ago, but it's come back in a different disguise now. And even evangelical pastors are accepting this stuff. Pastors that you watch on TV, evangelists that you watch on TV, we got to be careful, because we're going to have not only a one world bank, a one world, as I said, monetary system, a one world government, a one world police force, a one world army, a one world leader called the Antichrist. We're going to have a big false church. Now, many of us in the church have forgot what we're supposed to be here for. What is the purpose of the church anyway? To put on entertainment? A lot of big churches, that's how they draw people in. They put on a big entertainment. Been to one where, you know, the curtain rolls back, just like on a stage, and they got this big orchestra, and they got all of this stuff, and you think you at some kind of Broadway presentation. And they're packed out. They are packed out. But what are they doing? They're putting on entertainment. Listen, friends, the church of Jesus Christ is not in the entertainment business. Sure, we use music. God bless the singing. We need it. Music sets the stage. Singing sets the stage for the preacher to preach the word. We're not in the entertainment business. We're not in the program business. You know, some, and I'm not going to name it that denomination now, but it's growing by 4%, and that's big. 4% growth for a denomination is big in this day and age. It's growing big, but it's growing through programs. We got programs for grandma and grandpa, and programs for teenagers, and programs for kids, and programs for this, and overeaters programs if I need to go to, and all kind of things like that. They're growing by programs. We got to have programs. We got to reach the people that have the needs, yes. But what is, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, what is the purpose of the church? Redemption. The purpose of the church is redemption. That everything we do, every song that the choir sings, every special that we have, all of our kids' programs, whatever other programs we have, has as their end result that people might be redeemed. That means lifted out of their sin, lifted out of their habits that they're in, set free by the power of Jesus Christ. That's the message of the church. That's what we need to be teaching and preaching. Sure, we can use entertainment to get them. Sure, we can use programs to get them. Sure, we can use buildings to get them. But at the bottom end or the top, wherever you want to put it, our main purpose is to get people redeemed. But we're getting away from that. We are getting away from it. Numbers, that's what we look at. That's all I hear preachers talk about, pastors talk about. We get together. We had so many at church. And that's good. I'd like to see this place filled. But the numbers I want to see put down in my book and your minutes as a church is that with this past year we had so many saved, we had so many baptized. That's the bottom line. Not we got 300 in church, but praise God we had at least 1 or 2, 3, 4 or 15 saved, redeemed. Get them in, get the numbers. And you know, we preachers have, well, if we get more in to preach to, we get more saved. But I've seen big churches, nobody gets saved. 300 there and nobody gets saved. 400 there and nobody gets saved. We go out feeling good. Well, I'm getting off the track. But that's what's coming. Will be a one false church. And this false leader that comes out of the land, out of the area of Palestine and Israel, he will say he is the Savior. He is the Messiah. You know, the Jews are still looking for the Messiah. The Muslims are still looking for the Mahdi, which is their Messiah. The Messiah has already come. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He was born. He came. He died. He was resurrected. But the greater part of the world today, in the land, in those places of in Italy, and not Italy, I mean in Europe and other places, the Jew especially is still looking for the Messiah. And that's who he's going to be. After sometime after the rapture, will come that one who says, I am the Messiah. He'll be like a lamb. Jesus Christ was the lamb. But he speaks with the power and the tongue of the devil. And notice what he does in verse 12, back to chapter 13. And he exercises all of the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. This false church is going to be the vehicle that brings the Antichrist to power. What is Antichrist? Antichrist, just like it says. Anti-church, anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Jesus. And isn't that the way the world's going today? Give us everything else but take Jesus away. You can give us yoga, whatever you call it, but don't put Jesus in it. Be careful. Yoga, transcendental meditation, these relaxation CDs that you get, I don't have time to go into that, but we'll see this later on. But he does, notice verse 13, he does great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Be careful. Test everything by the word of God. Just because you think you see a miracle. Because this false Christ, this false this false Messiah that's coming. Who in the Bible drew fire down from heaven? Elijah on Mount Carmel. He prayed and fire came down. That was a miracle. So this false church is going to be a church of miracles. Jesus works miracles. I believe God works miracles, but not on a wholesale business like they're going to be doing with this church. Be careful. Be careful. Because he's going to use those miracles so that he can deceive them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had a wound by a sword and did live. Somehow, some way, that the Antichrist is going to be somebody that has been dead. I don't know if he's been dead for a while. I don't know if he gets wounded and they say somebody shoots him. He's got a wound to the head and they pronounce him dead and he comes back to life. Oh, that's Jesus. He is the real Messiah. And so they'll start worshiping him. And you will, this false religious system will have a satanic trinity, just like we've got the Trinity today. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They will be a satanic trinity. Satan will be God. The Antichrist will be the false Jesus. And the false prophet will be the Holy Spirit. Let's look at this just a little bit closely. Turn to chapter 17, if you will. We got to close this thing up pretty quick, but it gives us more insight of who this false prophet is and what this false church is. Notice Revelation 17, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, saying unto me, come hither, come on over here, John. I will show you the judgment of the great whore. Now, I know I don't like to say that word. The great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Many waters is talking about the earth. The great whore is a great prostitute. Now, you say, who's he talking about? Talking about the false church, I'll show you in just a few minutes. Because these Christians that worship this false church will be committing spiritual adultery. When we get saved, we become the bride of Jesus Christ, don't we? That's what the Bible says. He's coming back to get his bride, and who has made herself clean and white in his blood. And you don't want your bride, and I'm just going to be frank with you. You don't want your bride messing around with somebody else, do you? Nobody wants their bride or their bridegroom messing around with somebody else. Well, that's the reason this false church is called a harlot. The reason John uses the word whore, because she's saying, I'm the bride of Christ, yet that church is befouling itself with the devil. Let's just read on and see it. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Talk about this false church that's going to cause nations and people to turn their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. So he carried me away into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. That's the Antichrist system. The Antichrist system, this false church is riding on it. And notice verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. You say, why is that so important? If any of you have a theological degree, with my master theology came not only the robe, but the scarlet, I don't even know what to call it, stole. It was a scarlet stole, which signifies that I graduated from the seminary. I received my Master of Theology degree. Therefore, I am qualified to wear a robe with a scarlet stole, because just about all of you that you whatever you majored in college, you've got a different color stole if you get your master's or your PhD that you can wear. That anybody that knows can look at it and say, okay, you've got so-and-so degree. You're a geologist. They can look at my stole and say, yeah, you've got a theology degree. Okay, notice this. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Who do you see a whole lot on TV? All rayed out in scarlet and purple. You see the leaders of the Catholic Church. They wear these colors. They wear these colors to signify who they are. Now, I'm not saying this is a Catholic Church, but I'm saying it signifies and lets us know that this woman, this prostitute, is committing spiritual adultery. And she was decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. It's going to be a rich church. Having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. It's going to be a church. It's going to be a religious belief, but it's going to be dirty and filthy because it's based upon the devil. Because we're going to find this out in a minute. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Babylon the Great. I don't have time to do a study on Babylon, but Babylon is where pagan religion got started. Nimrod founded Babylon. And he founded it on a pagan belief, not a belief in God, but pagan belief, worshiping the moon, worshiping the stars. And this false church will be based on paganism. And I don't have time to go in that, but I'm just telling you, watch out. We'll get back to this sometime. But I'm trying to tell you, and we're going to move right along, but because it's time to close, I'm trying to tell you this morning and share this stuff with you because it's very important. It's coming. It's on the way. If you'll read your Bible and look at the newspaper, you're going to see where a one-world religion, a one-world government is going to come together. Someone will rise up as its leader. And he will use the church and the power of the devil, and the power that's empowering the church is the devil, to do something. Turn back to chapter 13. In verse 16, after the church, in verse 15, to give life to the image of the beast, breath, somehow they're going to have an image that will breathe and talk and all of that, and cause people to worship the beast. If you don't worship the beast, you'll be killed. And he does something else. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. The mark of the beast. John calls it 666. Now, I can't tell you what the mark of the beast is. I can't tell you what 666 means except seven. Seven is in the Bible is the number of perfection or completeness. 666 means that this is a rotten thing. It's of man. Man's number is six, and this is 666. A man who is extremely dirty and filthy, unspiritual, a beast. And he's going to cause people to have a mark. And I don't know what that mark is. But I'm going to tell you that probably a lot of us have got it right with us today. Now hang on, don't go out, and listen to what I'm gonna finish, what I'm gonna complete. How is the Antichrist gonna keep track of 6 or 8 billion people? We'll take out a few billion Christians, probably be 4 billion people or more on the earth. How's he gonna keep track of everybody? Well, just about everywhere you go now, you look up, you're on camera, aren't you? Everywhere you go, somebody's taking a picture of you. You get your money out of the teller machine, they got your picture. You walk, you drive into Walmart's parking lot, they got you on camera from the time you walk in till you go back out and get in your car. Plus, we've got these new smartphones. Now listen, I'm not saying the smartphone is the mark of the beast. Because it's not a pistol or rifle that kills people. It's the person behind that using that technology. I'm saying that the Antichrist will use the technology that we are developing right now to keep track of everybody. You know, they're talking about now scanning. You know, you won't even have to go through the checkout line. Well, you go through it, but you won't have to even show them your card. You won't have to make any kind of transaction. Just do like Chris did with that little thing he had down there to change the pictures back here on the wall, down here in the front. You just flash that at them and go on out, and they've got everything scanned. They've got everything already tallied up, and it'll come out of your account. See that little thing down there in the bottom? If you could bring your smartphone up here and we could reduce that a little bit, you could lay your smartphone right on that and it'd tell you some information, because that came off of my American Express account. Came the other day. And I said, what's this little thing on my account? And he said if I wanted to know more information, if I had a smartphone, I could just lay it down. He'd give me more information about my account. We got an AARP thing the other day, and it had that right there. Down on the bottom of just about every story, every article they had, and they said, place your smartphone here, and we'll give you some more information. That's scary. That is scary, friends. Mark, are your forehead? Put that thing under your skin. Can't buy anything at store. Go buy. Can't get any medicine at the drugstore. You can't get a job. You can't do anything unless you've got that mark, whatever it'll be. I'm not saying that's what it is, but it's going to be that kind of technology. And it's right around the bend. I mean, we've got the technology now to do everything the Antichrist would want to do to control me and you. It's out there. And they're developing more, making it smaller, more inconspicuous. You wouldn't even know you've got something under your hand. You wouldn't know you had something on your temple right underneath the skin. So when you walked in the drugstore, they'd know that you had the mark. And they'd sell you some medicine. Your baby's about dead. Hospital won't take it. Doctor won't see you. Drugstore won't give you any medicine. We will, if you'll just let us put this little chip under your hand. Won't hurt. Or put it right there in your forehead. It won't hurt. Have that done, and you can get all the medicine you want. You can go to any doctor you want to. Fact is, the government pay your bill. That's all we got to do. Your baby don't have to die. Your mama don't have to die. Your husband don't have to die. Just get that done. That's what it's coming to. And I've shared all this with you to share this one thing. If we believe half of what I've shared with you this morning, and I know I probably muddled your brain and got you confused, because I need at least a year to go through this on Sunday morning, at least a year to go from start to finish. But I want to give you enough to get you excited about this one thing. Jesus is coming. I don't know when. And I want you to be ready so we be caught up with Him. And if we believe Jesus is coming, then what do we need to do, church? We need to go out of here, out of this place, wanting to get somebody else to come with you to church next Sunday, because you want them to, you don't want them to be left. You don't want your children to be left. You don't want your husband to be left. You don't want your wife to be left. You don't want grandpa and grandma to be left when the rapture comes. You don't want your neighbors. You don't want your friends. If we believed this stuff, we'd be inviting people to come to church. We'd be praying for them. We'd be down on our knees every day. Lord Jesus, help me to witness to somebody to get them to Jesus Christ. Church, we need to wake up. That's me and you. I need to wake up. You need to wake up and make sure that we're redeemed, and then make sure that we get people in whatever church. And when I say whatever church, I mean a church that preaches the gospel, that'll tell you what the Word says, not what you want to hear, but what thus saith the Lord. Too many times our churches today, you know, I don't want, you know, we preachers say, I don't want a whole family to walk out and leave me. I don't want them to go to another church. I want to keep them. Well, we tickle their ears. We keep them, and they're lost. And the rapture comes. Blood's going to be on my hands. Blood's going to be on my hands. So I'm warning you. God has warned me. Things are coming to a pinnacle and ahead. I'm not saying it's going to happen next week. It could happen today. I'm saying it's coming to a head, and we must be ready, and we must be about the Master's business. Let's stand. Our Father, we bow our heads before You, and we thank You, Lord, that You've given us a warning. Lord, You've told us in so many places in Your Word. Jesus said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to get my bride. I'm coming back to get my church. I'm coming back to get those who love me. And Lord, we just walk around and say, well, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. But Lord, we don't know. It may not, but we don't know. Nobody can set the day or the hour when all these terrible things are going to take place. We just need to be ready. And I pray, Lord, that everybody in this church is ready. And if we are ready, then, Lord, give us a burden for this world out here. Give us a burden for our neighbors and our friends and our own families, because we don't want them left to go through this 7 years of terrible times. We don't want them to go to hell. Jesus, open our eyes. Empower us with Your truth and Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing a hymn together. I never want to dismiss. If you don't know, if you're not ready, you can get ready. Right now you can get ready. If you want to recommit yourself, you can do it right now this morning. If you want to be a better, stronger witness, you can come and ask the Lord Jesus to empower you to be the witness you should, as we sing together. 310.